Well, let's put it this way. Wisdom should come with age, shouldn't it? I've seen a few people who defied that. None of us. I wasn't talking about you. I wasn't talking about you, so don't get your feelings hurt. Sometimes I think it's somebody that I know real well every now and then. And it ain't Cindy, so that narrows it down. So I'm talking about myself. I wanted to make them clear that I wasn't talking about you. Okay. Praise God. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get right into our study for tonight. Father, we are grateful to you for your word and for the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher. Now, Holy Spirit, we open our hearts to you and our minds to you. We look to you to teach us the things of God, the things of the kingdom, O God. Father, we want to understand not only to know you and know your love and your goodness, but we want to know how your kingdom operates, how it works, so that we can cooperate and work together with you, Father, to see that kingdom expressed in our lives, in our homes, and in our communities. We look to you now to teach us, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we've been talking about, maybe I should review just a little bit here, about the kingdom of God, and we said, you know, the kingdom of God has to do with the rule and the reign of God. And you know, it may be obvious, or sometimes it's one of these things that maybe it's so obvious that we just never think about it, but you know, we're looking at this because we want to understand, how does God's kingdom work? You know, a lot of times when we think about God and we understand some of the attributes of God, you know, he's omniscient, he knows everything. He's omnipotent, he has all power. He's omnipresent, he's everywhere at the same time. But and so when we think about that, we sometimes think, how does his kingdom operate? And sometimes we can think that God's just, you know, he's sitting on the throne, as the scriptures tell us, and he's ruling and reigning from there. And we think that God is just making, you know, individual arbitrary decisions, you know, about everything and everybody as it comes up. And we've brought that unknowingly, I think, into the church as a whole, the church world. And so we've gotten this idea that nobody can really understand what God's going to do, if he's going to do a certain thing. Or we get this idea that, you know, God's making these arbitrary decisions, so he just decides to save one and not another, to heal one and not another, to bless one and not another. And there's just no way we can know. We just kind of go through, and just, you know, we got this vague idea that we're trusting God the best we know how, and, you know, whatever happens, happens. But did you know, if you'll study out Hindu, and I don't encourage you to do that, but one of the tenets in Hindu, you know, Hinduism, is, you know, whatever is going to happen is going to happen. There's fatalism. You know, it's just anything happens. Well, you know, that was karma. That's what they call it, karma. It's just, you know, that's whatever happens is supposed to happen. You know, and we bring that thinking sometimes into the church, don't we? Well, you know, whatever happened in your life, God wanted it to happen. Well, you'd make a great Hindu. But what we have to understand is that is not a Christian worldview. That is not a kingdom of God worldview. So the reason we're looking at this is we want to understand, how does God's kingdom operate? Because the Bible teaches us, and we looked at this, that now we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. So now we're in a different kingdom. The problem is that when we got saved, that old kingdom we lived in, the Bible calls it the kingdom of darkness, we understand how to operate in it. Amen? Anybody in here know how to worry? We got it down, don't we? That is a principle of that old kingdom. That's not the kingdom of God. Amen? God's not given us a spirit of fear. What is worry based on? Fear, isn't it? So he says he's not given us a spirit of fear, but what? A spirit of a power, love, and a sound mind. So we're looking at some things. We call them laws of the kingdom. The reason we call them laws is not a law like a Ten Commandment law, or, you know, if you're speeding, boom, the cop's on you. But we said the law means this. A law is this. It is a relation or sequence of phenomena invariable under the same conditions. In other words, we put it this way. It's something that we can expect that is going to happen the same way every time when conditions are met. Isn't that right? In the natural. Back to the natural again. Anybody ever heard of the law of gravity? How many of you are thankful for the law of gravity? Isn't that great? Most of the time I'm glad. You didn't wake up on the ceiling this morning. You didn't walk outside your house and just start floating away and you're up there at the moon. Help me! You know. But you know what? The law of gravity doesn't care what your sex is. It doesn't care if you're tall or you're short. It doesn't care what ethnicity. Does it? It doesn't say, okay, you're a woman. It won't work for you. No, it's a law, okay? Now, you know, as the saying goes, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but this is where we're coming from. I want you to understand it. So in the kingdom of God, God's got laws in his kingdom, in the spiritual realm, that God has set in place, that God has ordained, and these laws in the spirit, they operate consistently. That's why, you know, anybody can be saved, anybody can be healed, anybody can receive the blessings and the promises of God. God will do it for anybody. But here's the thing, there are always what? There are conditions that we have to understand about how these laws operate. And that's what the reason we're teaching that is to understand that. Because what? We're in that kingdom now. The conflict comes with this is that we've been saved, born again, our sins are forgiven, and we've been what? Translated out of the kingdom of darkness into God's kingdom. But the problem comes when we're in God's kingdom, but we're trying to live according to the laws of the old kingdom. Now, I think I shared this example, but when Cindy and I, and if you've traveled some, but especially living overseas in another country, you know what? The laws and the customs are different from here. So if you're in another country and you're living there, you can't live as though you're living here. It's not the same. The boundaries are different. The laws are different. The customs are different. The expectations are different. All that's different. If you try to go, you know, to another country and try to express yourself as an American, you're going to be misunderstood at best, and you could get yourself into some trouble at worst. But it just doesn't work. And so the same thing, we're in the kingdom of God now. Those old things of fear and worry and doubt and unforgiveness, and we could just go right on down the line. All those things, they don't work in the kingdom. And when we try to live in the kingdom, but we're living according to those old things, we get in all kinds of problems, all kinds of trouble. So we're learning how to live, because we're looking at some of the laws of the kingdom. So how does God administer his kingdom? He's not doing it arbitrarily. He set what? Laws in motion. Because you think about it, the spiritual world is more real than this natural world. Because a spirit called God created everything that's natural or made of matter, as we call it. See, so we've been taught from living in that old kingdom that this is the real, more real world, and the spiritual world is less real. That's part of that old kingdom training. Now we've got to understand, okay, what? The spiritual realm is the permanent realm. It's the unchanging realm. The Bible calls it the eternal realm, okay? It's not subject to decay because what? It's eternal. It's not bound by time. The only reason you age is because what? You're under time, aren't you? Along with some other things. So we want to learn about the laws of the kingdom. Now, one of them we've been looking at is called the law of faith. The law of faith. And remember, when we said this, that means this, what? When it's a law, that means what? It will work for anyone. Faith will work for whosoever will. God's faith, they don't care. He doesn't care what your background is, what your gender is, what your nationality is. It will work for you. But on the other hand, if we have this idea that God is from the throne, he's up there and he's making moment by moment decisions concerning, you know, what's going to happen to me today or what's not going to happen to me today, then we tend to be passive and we just sit there and say, well, God, whatever you want to do. You know, your will be done. Well, it was at Calvary. The will of God was expressed through Jesus at Calvary, wasn't it? In his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, seating at the right hand. That, in all of that, you know what this is? All of this, in, especially in the New Testament, you know what it is? It is expounding upon and an explanation of and a revealing of all Jesus accomplished as the will of God. That's really all it is. Isn't that what a will is? And it's an expression of somebody's, what, intent and desire. This is God's will. And so here's the thing. You know, if you, we mentioned this. If you went to the reading of a will, and you were in the will of a relative or something, and they read in that will that the relative had left you $1 million, well, you wouldn't have to go do anything further. You hadn't got to, beg for it or do anything else. I mean, once the will is expressed, that's it, isn't it? And, you know, I've heard of people leaving. I forget. I think it was the lady that owned the hotel chain for so long. What was the lady's name? The Harley. Yeah, they owned the Harley Hotels for so long. I think she left, like, was it hundreds of millions of dollars to her dogs or something like that? But you know what? That's it. Don't matter where her family liked it or not. It didn't matter. The dogs got the money. Why? It was her will, wasn't it? As crazy as that sounds. So as we look at this, we understand there's something called the law of faith. Turn over to Mark 11. I know I'm reviewing a little bit, but, you know, we've had a little water go under our bridge, as I like to say, since last time. And it's good to remind ourselves of these things. It's so important. It's so important. And we're going to read out of the mouth of Jesus himself, out of the mouth of Jesus himself, the most important statements made concerning the operation of the law of faith. How many believe if anybody knows how it works, Jesus does? He absolutely knows how the kingdom works, doesn't he? He knows how it works. And he came to express not only the heart of the Father, but he came to express the kingdom of God. Amen? And you and I, wherever we go, if we learn how this kingdom operates, we can be and not only a living expression, but we can manifest the expression of the kingdom of God. Isn't that right? And that's what God wants us to do. And when we manifest the kingdom of God, the Bible puts it this way. He said, your light is shining. Where does the light need to shine? In the darkness. What is this kingdom of this world called? The kingdom of darkness. The people who are in that kingdom are under the control of darkness, and whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who have not believed. And so when we give an expression to the kingdom of God, what is it? Our light is shining. Amen? Like Motel 6 says, leave the light on. Amen? Just leave the light on. So one of the ways we do it is through this operation of something called faith. Verse 22, have faith in God. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Now Jesus said that. So it's got to be true. And notice what he says here. He says, whosoever. That means what? It will work for anyone. It will work for anyone. Okay? It doesn't just work for preachers. It works for anyone. He said, whosoever. And notice what he says, will say. And we talked about this. How is faith? See, a lot of people are believing, and we talked about belief is passive. Amen? If I asked you, you know, people tell me, but boy, I believe so strongly. I don't doubt it. But believing is not faith until what? We either say something or we do something. Isn't that right? We talked about that. Jesus said, whosoever will say, we've got to release faith out of our mouth. It's got to come out from inside of us. Remember we talked about, you know, that words are containers. Remember that? Just like, you know, at home in your pantry, you've got different canned goods and packaged goods that they contain different kinds of foods and things. The same thing is true. God's Word contains faith. When we consume the Word, guess what? Faith comes into us. Then we've got faith. Romans 10 says it this way. Faith comes by what? Hearing. Amen? We could, you know, just like we'd say this, you know, calories come by eating. I knew that'd get everybody's attention. Isn't that right? I mean, you can read the, you know, you can read how many calories are in a serving of something all day long, but hey, that don't put no weight on you, does it? It's not until what? You start consuming those calories. Same thing with God's Word. See? It's got to come into us. We got to consume it so that what? The calories or the energy of the kingdom called faith begins to be what? It begins to build up in us, begins to be released in us, begins to fill us up. And then he says when you, the way to release that faith is what? He says is to speak. He says, say to the mountain. Now, too often, and don't misunderstand me, prayer is right. We should pray. It's right to pray if we pray right. Amen? Correctly. But here's the thing. Too often we're praying about things that Jesus said you should be speaking to. He didn't say, whosoever shall pray to God about the mountain. He said, whoever will what? Say to the mountain. Now here's the thing we've got to understand. That all kinds of things will respond to faith when it acts upon it. All right? Jesus said, you say to the mountain. Okay, when you speak to the mountain, what are you releasing? Faith. That faith is released to what? The mountain. The mountain responds to what? The faith. Remember when Jesus said to the fig tree? Remember the example? He looked at the fig tree. From afar, it had leaves. He thought since it had leaves, it must have fruit. No fruit. You remember the story? And he said, no man eat fruit from you from this day forward. Remember that? And a short time later, the next day or so, they're walking back, and one of the apostles says, look, Lord, the fig tree you cursed, it's already withered up from the roots. And you read in that example, he makes the same statement. He said, you'll not only do what was done to this fig tree, but if you say to this mountain, amen. In other words, things respond to faith. Now remember, we said the kingdom of God is super. And remember, what we said that didn't mean? That didn't mean, ooh, Christian, spooky magic stuff, like the devil tries to make out, you know, vampires and all this stuff. Ooh, be scared, don't do that. Because what? He wants to keep us out of the spiritual realm. He doesn't want you in there. Because when you get in there, he knows his days are, boy, they are limited now because you're getting insight. And so it's supernatural. All super means is what? Is greater, doesn't it? Greater than the natural, you know, above the natural. You know, like Superman is greater than, you know. So when we release something, faith, which is supernatural from God, and we speak it into natural things, guess what? The natural is going to respond to the supernatural because the supernatural, what is greater? And the supernatural created all this stuff. Turn to Hebrews 11 a minute. I wasn't going to go this way, but here's where we're going. I hope I'm not getting too deep. I don't want to lose anybody, but I want us to understand this. Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Now, if you go back over there and read it, Genesis chapter 1, it says the Spirit of God hovered over the earth, was void, chaotic, formless, and it said, here's what God did. God said. Well, when God said, what did he release? Faith. Power, but it was what? Faith, wasn't it? Because it says, by faith he created the worlds. What did he use to create the worlds? Faith. So everything of the natural, that you can interact with your senses, with your physical body. All those things, they were created by, if not in the present form, the original substance was formed, was created, what? By faith. So now we understand this, that faith, okay, they will still respond to God's faith today. Are you listening? Why? Because what? We're in a kingdom that is supernatural. This is why your body will respond to faith and become whole. This is why, you know, trees and mountains respond to faith. You say, oh, this is just the most ludicrous. Well, I can't help it if you're still thinking in that old kingdom. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. Amen. You know, here's the thing. The reason it seems so far-fetched with us is because we're living so subpar. And I'm not being critical. I'm just saying. So subpar from what God intended. You know, I forget what it was, but one brother, he put it this way. I think it was Watchman Nee. He said, you know, he said, we've, as a whole, Christians have lived so far below, you know, what God intended, so subnormal, that when they see a normal Christian, they think they're abnormal. Wow, boy, they're a person of strong faith, like, you know, nobody else should be. Come on. Oh, boy, man, there's something else. Well, they're not the only ones that's something else. So are you. You just haven't found out about it yet. Amen. You're something else too. Amen? In God. In God. And that's what we're talking about, isn't it? We're in the kingdom. And so this faith here. So here's the thing. Things will respond to faith. That's why Jesus said, speak to them. He said, speak to them. Release faith in them. Amen? Anything that's created, naturally, anything like that, it will respond to faith. Listen, spiritual entities called demons will respond to faith. Jesus said, in my name, what? Cast them out. Well, you don't roll up your sleeves and box them. How are you going to deal with those unseen beings? How are you going to deal with them? You're going to have something that will reach into that unseen realm, amen, and put pressure on them so that what? They come into compliance to Calvary. And faith is one of those things, that spiritual force in the law of faith. We need to understand it and operate it so what? That we can stop fighting spiritual battles with natural weapons. Turn over to turn to 2 Corinthians a minute. Second Corinthians 10, verse 3, he says, Paul says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. They are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Now, let me ask you something. Where are the strongholds? In the spirit realm. Now, they manifest in other ways, don't they? They may manifest in our thinking. They may manifest in our bodies. They may manifest in our circumstances, in our finances. Are you listening? Because what? They're spirit beings. And they know how to manipulate things in the natural world. I'm going to pause there a minute. Let's see. I'm not trying to get super deep here, but we got to bring it out to understand it. And so when we use faith, see, we're not doing something you better watch out with that stuff. I wonder who come up with that. And we want to, in Christendom, we want to try to use natural reasoning, natural ways to fight a spiritual enemy. You know, that would be just as much, I would do just as much good if I got out a 16-gauge shotgun and I just started shooting in the air hoping I'm going to hit a devil. What's the difference? We think we're going to use natural reasoning and man's ways. We're going to combat these things. You can't touch them. You drop a nuclear bomb on them. You're not going to touch them. We have to understand that. And so we need to, as we understand the laws of the kingdom, and especially concerning this thing called faith, then we understand how important is it that we take our place in the kingdom, we begin to understand how it operates, how the kingdom of God works, and begin to take those weapons, take those things, the laws of the kingdom, and begin to use them to bless mankind and to set people free. Amen? Thank you for your enthusiasm. Are we getting too, are we going too deep here? I don't mean to. And I'm not trying to insult your intelligence, but you know. But we need to understand how this operates. Paul wrote this, he said, concerning the church, he said, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. We are not ignorant of Satan's devices. Yet, unfortunately, many times we are. And then when somebody comes along and we start talking about these things, they think, boy, that's weird. You're way out on the fringe. You're way out. That's not orthodox. Well, it depends on who's defining orthodox. If we let the Word of God define orthodox, that's one thing. But if we're talking about orthodox because it's something that, you know, the customs, traditions of men have taught for centuries, whether it was right or not, that's another thing, isn't it? Somebody says, well, what about the sovereignty of God? Well, it's the sovereignty of God that set it up this way. If he'd have wanted it a different way, he'd have set it up a different way, wouldn't he? It was his choice. He did it. We didn't do it. But here's the thing I found out. Once God sets it up a certain way, there's no use thinking you're the exception. Isn't that right? You know, I've run into people talking to them about the grace of God and God's plan concerning, you know, forgiveness of sin and being born again, going to heaven. And yet they thought they were the exception. Well, I just think, you know, my good works will outweigh my bad ones. And they're convinced. I mean, they think they're the exception. Well, it's tragic. It's not funny, but it's tragic. But they're going to find out if God doesn't get a hold of them or they open their heart up, they're going to find out what? They're not the exception. Hopefully they don't find it out too late. But you know, we all understand that when it comes to being born again. But sometimes when it comes over, remember we talked about Sunday. We said, you know, we talked about the river. We said, you know, the prophet said the river. He said you could wade out and it's ankle deep. Hallelujah. I'm saved. I'm born again. My sins are forgiven. We understand that by the grace of God. You know, but then he said you could go out to where it's what? Knee deep. Yep. Hallelujah. Learn something about the Holy Spirit. Wow. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Speaking out divine secrets. Then he says you could go to waist deep. We start learning about how the kingdom of God operates. The law of faith, different things. We understand how the enemy's operating. How he's trying to work against us, and we're over here fighting with natural weapons, and he's over here on a whole different battlefront fighting against us. And we're like Paul said, we're out here shadow boxing. Because we don't understand, as we should, how these things operate. All right. We talked about also too last week, how to turn your faith loose. How to turn your faith loose. Because, see, the Bible calls us, if you're a Christian, if you're born again, the Bible calls you a believer. Amen? And we know in Romans 12, the reason that is because when you're saved, the Bible says that God gives to each one of us a measure of his faith. How many of you know that? You can read that in Romans 12, 3. He gives us a measure of his faith. Isn't that right? Now, we have this faith we're talking about is the faith of God. That's the reason it's so amazing. That's the reason it's so powerful. That's the reason it's so supernatural. That's the reason it's so effective. Because it's his faith. Amen? You know, if I owned one of these mansions over here on A1A, hallelujah. If I did, and I said, you know what? The next year, just go over there, you can live in it. You can enjoy it. Enjoy it. You don't worry about it. I'm going to pay for everything. You just go enjoy it. Well, what would you do? Would you go over there and just be so afraid that you just hide in a broom closet? I don't want to get out there in that pool. I know, oh, it looks beautiful, but I mean, you know, after all, I mean, you know, can you imagine how much it must be costing him? Man, not me. Man, I'd be out there in it if I didn't have anything to wear but a pair of cutoffs. I mean, man, let's enjoy the pool. Let's enjoy the benefits. Isn't that right? That's what God wants us to understand. It's God's faith. He's given a measure of faith. Now he says you can add to that faith what? As we feed on God's word, meditate on God's word, and we start building in us. This is the reason the scripture calls us believers, because we're believers. You're a believer. You believe God. You believe in God. You believe in Jesus. You believe in the power of God. You believe. But now he says, now let's take a step further in understanding how this works. That's good. But believing, again, is passive until we what? We learn how to release our faith. And so Jesus said, one of the primary ways we do it is, he says what? You have to say something. Words, we mentioned this, are containers. And they can contain fear. You ever heard words of fear? I don't suggest it, but if you want to hear some, turn on the news. Why is it that when you finish listening to that, especially if you listen to them talk about the economic report and all the unemployment, all the layoffs, why is it when you finish with that, I mean, it can even affect your body. You can start to feel, apprehensive, and you can't sleep. Why? Because those words contain something. In this case, they contain fear. They're speaking fear. They're speaking fear out. Now, I'm not criticizing them. You know, they probably don't realize what they're doing, but that's what's happening. So words always contain something. And when we hear words or we speak words, they're always going to contain something. They're going to contain faith or fear. They're going to contain love, or they're going to contain hate. Isn't that right? But they're always going to contain something. You know this. You can walk into a room or something where two people have just been arguing. Man, you sense something. What is it? What was in those words is spirit is still lingering in that atmosphere. Same thing, though, if you go in and words of love and peace have been there. You can go into some people's place and you just feel such a peace. What? You know what's been being said in there. Isn't that true? And so we have to understand this is the primary way. Jesus said, if you say. And so when the circumstances and things of life come at us, we need to learn not only to pray, but we also need to learn how to say. It's important to pray. Don't misunderstand me. But we also need to learn how to say to the mountain. Amen? After you've prayed, then you need to say. You need to say. Because what are you doing? You're doing what Jesus commanded you to do. How many of you know Jesus wouldn't command us to do something that was wrong? So if he said to say to the mountain, what should you and I do? Say to the mountain. But if we have understanding, it can help us. Because especially when you first start doing this, it seems like to your mind, this is the craziest, most nonsensical. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Your mind will just, you know why? Because your mind has been trained by the other kingdom. And that other kingdom says, listen, what you can touch and taste and feel and see with these eyes, that's real. Everything else, no. You know, think about the progression in the natural of us gaining some understanding. You know, there was a time when they said this was solid. Now they know there's all kind of space in here. There's all kind of gaps between the atoms and the molecules in this thing. I mean, you know, so you can't, you know, it shows you just the natural reason how easily it can be confused or it can make a wrong assumption. But when we get God's wisdom and we understand and begin to live out of that kingdom, then we can live and conduct ourselves accurately, or as the Bible says, by truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. What do we need to be set free of? Sin, demons, the flesh, this world. Isn't that right? Man, how many know if you could, if out of the natural you could set yourself free, Jesus would never have had to go to Calvary. The Bible makes it clear. By our own efforts, no matter the smartest person, the most beautiful person, the most educated person, the most wealthiest person, don't matter, roll them all into one, they still can't set themselves free. So we said we need to begin to say something, and it starts, one thing, it starts releasing our faith, is we need to find out what does the Bible say about us now that we're in this kingdom. The Bible says, remember we said, if anybody be in Christ, if anyone's in Christ, they are what? A brand new creation or person. Old things. What old things? That old kingdom. Old things passed away. What do we say when we use the term pass away? What does that mean? Dead. Death. Old things are dead, passed away. And behold, how many things have become new? All things have become new. What? See, so when we talk about the kingdom to this mind until it gets renewed, it's like, wait a minute. I never heard anything like that before. That's right. It's new. This kingdom is new. The understanding we're gaining from God's word and by his spirit is what? New. New to what? Not new to God. New to what? This old way of thinking. To this old kingdom that we had learned so well. That's why if we don't purpose to get, as the Bible says, our thinking changed or our mind renewed, we will continue to be conformed to the old kingdom rather than being transformed to live in the new kingdom. Amen? And here's the thing. To the degree I'm transformed, to that degree I reflect Jesus. Isn't that true? We're not talking about going to heaven now. Okay? You know, there are a lot of what we would call, the Bible would call carnal Christians. You know, they're going to heaven. But, you know, a carnal Christian doesn't reflect too much of Jesus. I'm not being judgmental. I'm just, that's a fact, isn't it? And so he says, what, we've got to be transformed so that we reflect more of Jesus and we demonstrate and reflect more of the kingdom. Because, see, when people see the difference between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, the God of this world, and the God Jesus Christ whom we serve, the Bible makes it clear when there is a clear distinction, people are going to what? They're going to flock to Jesus. Why did people flock to Jesus when he was here, walking on the earth in his physical body? Why did they flock to him? Because he demonstrated something that they had never seen before. Miracles, part of the kingdom. Now, this might strike you as strange, but I want you to think about it, okay? Do you know that in heaven there are no miracles? Isn't that right? There are no miracles. You could say, in a sense, you could say this, all of heaven and all of it is miraculous. So, you don't need a miracle. A miracle is a supernatural intervention in the natural course of things. Isn't that right? And God loves to intervene. Doesn't he? You say, well, why doesn't he do it more? Because he's chosen primarily to do it through what? His body. So we've got to learn the ways of the kingdom if we're going to demonstrate it. And faith is a big one. So the first thing to start is begin to say, what does the Bible say about me? The Bible says that he has made me the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And your mind says, say what? You're righteous? I don't think so. And of course, if you talk to most Christians, they will confirm it. You're not righteous. Isn't that right? I mean, you know, we all know one another's faults and things after the natural, so we're real quick. But you know, here's the thing. We've got to begin to what? Speak that over our lives. Why? Because it's by faith. He said, remember what he wrote over there in Colossians? He says, as you have received Christ Jesus, how did you receive him? Continue to walk in him. See, what's happened is in Christendom, we've been big on understanding the law of faith to get us into the kingdom. Saved, born again, forgiven. But after that, it's almost like we thought, well, it doesn't work anymore. Or there's no need for it to work anymore. After I get in, it's all about all my own efforts. come on. It's sad, and it would be funny, but it's just way too sad to be funny, isn't it? No, he said, as you've received him, he said, continue, increase, walk that way. So we begin to speak over who we are in Christ. Over and over, the Bible talks about in Christ, in him, in whom. And we need to begin to speak that, because that's how God sees you. That's in the kingdom. That's kingdom talk. We could put it this way. You know, again, the example, when we were living in Argentina, you know what? You can keep on speaking English all you wanted to, but guess what? It didn't get you far. They spoke another language. They spoke a different language. So if you wanted to communicate, if you wanted to operate, somebody somewhere better know some Spanish. Thank God for Cindy. But here's the thing. In the kingdom, in the church, it's unfortunate we haven't looked at it that way, but that's really what's happened, is that some people who have learned the ways of the kingdom and the language of the kingdom, we look to them and we rely on them for everything. I can't do nothing in the kingdom unless I got, you know, sister or brother so-and-so with me, because they know how to pray, they know how to get the devil off, they know how to get the blessing, they know... Come on. But that's not just for one or two or three or four or five. God wants all of us to understand that. Am I belaboring this too much? I hope not. Okay. Turn over real quickly to James. I said we'd talk about the tongue, and we are, because the tongue is the trigger to faith. If you're going to release faith, you're going to have to say something. That means if you're going to say something, you're going to have to understand the power of the tongue. And how many of you know, anything that has power for good can also carry power for what? Isn't that true? Sure it is. I mean, we can think of all kinds of things that are a real blessing, but if they are abused or misused, then guess what? They can hurt you. James chapter 3, verse 1. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Anybody want to teach next week? Every time I read that, I think, Lord. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man. Wow. Able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body. It makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and it is itself set on fire by hell. Woo! Brother James, take it easy on us here, brother. He said, all kinds of birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Whew. Yes, Lord. Listen, there's some powerful teaching here. Let me just summarize it a little bit with the time we've got left. Notice what he says here. He says, if a man can tame his tongue, he can reach a place where he says a perfect man. If you look at that word perfect, it literally means a mature man, a full-grown believer. So until we learn to control our tongue, James is teaching us, we are not yet mature or full-grown. That's what he says. Then he makes some comparisons here. He makes the comparison of the tongue to a bridle. A bridle is used to control the power of a beast. And I want to tell you something. Your flesh, your natural flesh, nature, is a beast.
Hello.
Man, I tell you what, I've seen some Christians, born again, spirit-filled Christians. Boy, I'm telling you, you don't control that tongue. Oh, my goodness. We wound people. We criticize. We backbite. I mean, you know, remember what I said? Words are containers. When you speak something, you're releasing something. Amen? You know, let me say this. He talks about, with it we bless God and curse men. He's not just talking about, you know, where somebody stands up and goes, you blankety blank blank. Man, he's talking about when you speak words of fear and death and criticism over somebody, you're pronouncing a curse. Hello? How's a curse pronounced? You can't have an unspoken curse. It's impossible. You can't do it. It's got to be with words. And we're not just talking about somebody getting into witchcraft and some kind of incantations going. But we have to understand, we got to take it a lot deeper level than that and understand when I start talking negative about you and critical about you and everything, whether you're in my presence or not, I'm speaking a curse over your life. I could meddle, but I guess I won't. I'm not trying to meddle. I'm trying to help us. Listen, I tell people all the time, listen, we have enough in just fighting the devil in my own flesh. I don't need yours piling on me. However correct your assessment may be in your mind or anybody else's, I don't need the weight of that on me. Words are weighty. You know, as adults, some of us may still be struggling with things that were a result of words our parents spoke over us 40 years ago. They didn't realize it, but they spoke words over us. It was like a curse. You'll never amount to anything. And then they struggle all their life. You're no good. You'll never make it. You're this, you're that, you're the. What is that? Those are curses. So here we are. We're already trying to fight the devil and just deal with our own flesh and our own stuff. And then on top of that, we got these words that Christians, and listen, your words are weighty. Jesus said, you know, Jesus said this. Listen to this. How important words are to God. You know, we've all heard that snakes and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. What a bunch of hooey. Boy, that is just the dumbest thing I ever heard. We all know that ain't right. Words are powerful. Jesus said it this way. He said, you're going to give an account for every word you speak. That's what he said. Woo-wee. You know, we might want to rethink giving somebody a piece of our mind. That's why he said, you know, he said, don't be quick to judge and criticize. Why? You speak those words out, it's hard to get them back, you know. Oh, this is serious business. See, but remember what we said, anything that's got that, I mean, if it's got anything that's this powerful, it can move mountains, it can deal into the spiritual realm, it can deal with demonic strongholds and demonic forces, then you think you're going to use that same tongue and speak it over your brothers and sisters, and it's going to have absolutely no effect. Well, I'm just expressing my opinion. Well, that's okay, but know this, Jesus said you're going to give an account for that opinion you expressed. Is your opinion worth that much to you? Might make us rethink it, hadn't he? So he said what? We need to put a bridle on our tongue. Just like he said a horse. We've got to get a bridle. The only thing that will bridle your tongue is God's word. Fill yourself up. Remember he said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, fully, completely, overflowing. Because you start speaking God's word out, man, I don't mind being, you know, because if God judges me for the words of his that I speak, I'm going to be okay. Isn't that right? If I speak words of grace over you, for words of love over you, words of encouragement over you, man, and you know what? just like the negative effects of my words I speak over you will be felt by you, the converse is true. When I speak words of encouragement, when I speak words of faith, of love, all those things, it's not just that it registers here and affects your emotions, it's going into your spirit. Man, and your spirit's like feeding on, it's like, yeah. Like I just took some spiritual vitamins here. Isn't that right? When we pray over one another and we're speaking good things in those prayers as we pray over, something's coming into us. We need to grab hold of this. This is not just some nice little, oh yeah, well they said that prayer and it made me feel better. Well, I mean, you know, it's okay to feel better, but we got to understand it's more to it than that. It's not just a matter of, you know, you said some words and I feel better, or you said some words and it hurt my feelings. It's much deeper than that. Amen? So he says you've got to learn to what? Bridle our tongue. The only thing that's going to do that is what? God's Word. God's Word. Put a bridle on your tongue. Because remember, he said over here, no man, what in other words, in our own strength. You know, you could say, oh, I'm going to purpose, you know. He said, no man can tame the tongue that way. Listen, it's got to take something supernatural. It's going to take the power of God's Word. Amen? Amen. You know, there used to be whole orders, you know, that they would take a vow of silence. They might have understood more than we understood. I'll tell you one thing. Whatever you may think about them, they're going to have a whole lot less to stand judgment for, aren't they? You know, some of us with the gift of gab, boy, I'm telling you what.
Didn't the same thing apply at Jericho, too, where they went around several times and several days before they actually shouted out and had trumpets
sure.
play?
Kept quiet.
They held their tongues until that very moment.
That's right.
That no,
yep, no doubt and unbelief would come out. Exactly. So the only way we're going to bridle our tongue is what was with the Word of God. Then he compares it to a rudder. Notice he said, the ships, he said, they may be driven by fierce winds. Listen, I mean, everything may be going wrong in your life. Circumstance, all kinds of things are blowing against the ship of your life. Everything seems like it's coming against you, but you know what? That doesn't have to defeat you. It's not the test, the trial, the winds. That does not make a shipwreck. It is where we steer the ship. And he said the way you do that is with the rudder. What? That's your tongue. That's your tongue. What are you saying?
Well, I just don't understand why this happened to me. Nothing ever seems to work out. I just don't know it.
You know? In the South, we call that poor mouthing. Boy, they named that right, didn't they? That's what we get, you know, when somebody's always complaining and whining and everything, we call that, yeah, and talking about all their troubles and everything. We call that poor mouth. Well, they got that right, didn't they? Because that is a poor use of your mouth. And he said, let your tongue be like the rudder of a ship. Even though the winds, the circumstances, everything's blowing against it, you just keep speaking God's Word. You keep speaking out your faith. You keep speaking out what God says about you. You know what? Your ship's going to, you know, all this wind thinks it's going to push you to a shipwreck. It's just going to push you right into the harbor that God had. But we need to understand. Then he compared it, what? To a fire, a spark. We'd say today, if he's writing today, he'd set a match. You know, you can take a match and you can eventually set tens of thousands of acres on fire, can't you? Just with a little match. Sometimes, you know, there's a wildfire, somebody threw out a cigarette. Just a little spark, a little something. When the conditions are right, you got a hole. And a lot of times, you know, we haven't understood this. A lot of stuff we're dealing with in our lives, we have started the fire. A lot of stuff that we're dealing with in churches, we have started the fire. And then we want to say, it's the devil. The devil burned down my house. No, you did that. The devil caused all these problems. No, you did that. Why? You struck the match with this tongue.
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't like Sister So and So and So. She thinks she's better than everybody else. Not to you. Start striking them, you know. And then we got,
a fire set here, and a fire set there, and a fire set here, and a fire set there. And we get all these fires going in our life. Then we run around and try to get God and, you know, and the pastor and anybody else at church and the elders and everybody to help us put out all these fires in our life. And as quick as we're trying to help you put them out, you're starting four more over here. Because you haven't understood what's going on. You think the devil's doing that. No, you are with your mouth. You're speaking fear and doubt and criticism and all that junk's coming out. You're starting all these fires. And you wonder, why is there so much hell going on in my life? Notice what he said. He said, it corrupts the whole person. It sets the whole course of his life on fire and is itself set on fire by what? Hell. That's pretty plain, isn't it? One thing about old James, Brother James, you didn't have to wonder what he meant, did you? He was real plain spoken, wasn't he? He said it's set on fire by hell. Now, let me just conclude with this. That there are two kingdoms here, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of God. Okay? And each one wants to control your tongue. Each one wants to train your tongue. And you know, the kingdom of darkness, we have learned, especially if we lived in it for many years, we have learned real well and been trained real well by that kingdom. Well, you know, and when people become Christians and they come back, you know, come in, their tongue hadn't been what? Their mind hadn't been renewed and their tongue hadn't been what? It's not controlled by the Spirit or by the Word of God. So we still talking all this junk. We're talking all this negative stuff and fear and worry and all this kind of stuff. And we're talking. And we wonder what's going on. And all the time, you know, the devil's in the background, just chuckling. And as soon as we hear somebody talk about, well, you can turn around and start speaking to the mountain and start speaking, calling things that be not as other words. And that same thought will come to you, that's the most silly thing in the world. Yet we did it all the time over in the kingdom of darkness. What is most fears are what? Things that we haven't realized yet. Isn't that right? Fear hits us and we start what? We start calling those things which be not as other were. I'll probably lose my job. There's a recession on. I know they're closing that plant. I'll probably want to lose my job. I'll probably lose my house. You know, after all, foreclosures are up in Florida. Come on. What are we doing? You hadn't lost your house yet. What is it? Fear is getting you to call those things which be not as though they were. But yet we come over here in the kingdom, we think that's crazy. No, we're just getting... Listen, you've gotten so used to driving your car in the old kingdom in reverse that when you get to the kingdom and drive it in forward, it seems strange. That's all we're doing. God's saying, hey, I just want you... You know, remember, when Satan, when he fell... When sin was introduced, the Bible says this, says that he perverted things. Are you listening to me? The devil's never created anything. He's perverted things. Anything that God made, he has done his best to pervert. Isn't that true? Sex, perverted. Health, perverted into sickness. Isn't that right? Abundance, perverted into lack. Unity, perverted into strife. Just go right on down the line. If you want to know who's behind it, what spirit's behind it, just look at it. If it's perverted, guess what? It's the devil. And it's the same thing with this law. He wants to pervert it. Rather than you speaking words of faith, he wants you to speak words of fear. And you're believing with all your heart it's going to come to pass. And then it happens, and you say, why did this happen to me? You struck the match. You set your own field on fire. You burnt your own house down and didn't realize you were doing it. Amen. Let me read you one more scripture, then we're going to pray. You probably know it, but I'm going to read it over here. Proverbs. And you know, many, if not quite all, but most of the Proverbs were written by Solomon. And the Bible says this about Solomon, speaking naturally, that he was the wisest man, other than Jesus, he was the wisest man who ever lived. Isn't that right? And where did he get his wisdom from? Because he asked for wisdom, and God gave it to him, didn't he? Now notice, so when we read this, we're not only reading the wisdom of Solomon, we're also reading the wisdom of God, the wisdom of the kingdom. Listen to this. 18:21, sorry. Proverbs 18:21, you know. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You will eat the fruit of your tongue. I'll put it this way. You are eating the fruit. You're saying everything that happens to me is because of my tongue? Well, let me ask you this. You know, the enemy can attack you, that's for sure. But I want to tell you what. It's one thing if he comes in and knocks my, kicks my door down or something. But I sure don't want to, you know, knock all the walls out of my house, raise every window, open every door, tear the roof off, and then say, okay, I'm going to try to defend this place. But that's what we do when our mouth starts speaking, what? Death, fear, worry, all that junk starts coming out of our mouth. We start speaking that. That's what we're doing. And then we wonder why we feel like, man, I'm getting attacked on every side. But you've torn down every wall. You've opened every door, every window. You've stripped off the roof. Yeah, but it's just so hard. The only reason it's hard is because when you first start, your mind will fight you. And if the mind's a funny thing, isn't it, sometimes? It's doing the same thing in a perverted way, and it thinks that's normal. Nobody thinks it's, what in the world's wrong with worrying? Worrying's normal. What's wrong with speaking my worries out? Everybody, that's normal. Who said? Normal for who? Not normal for God. God over and over in the scriptures tells us what? Fear not. Be anxious for nothing. Now what he says? Why? Because fear is, contrary to the kingdom of God. So let's understand that. So let's begin to, what, train our minds and then train our mouths. Go speak out and operate in the kingdom, the law of faith. All right. Well, my time's up. We're going to have to stop there. Well, I hope you got something out of this. I hope you learned something. I wanted to get into talking about taming the tongue, but we didn't have time to get to that. Let me give you four scriptures real quick, because I didn't get to it. Taming the tongue. How are you going to tame the tongue? I mentioned one. Colossians 3:16. Filled with the word. Colossians 3:16. Ephesians 5:18-20. Be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18-20. Be filled with the Spirit. Walk in love. Ephesians 4:29 through chapter 5, verse 2. Ephesians 4:29 through 5:2. Walk in love. And then lastly, one of the ways that we can control the tongue supernaturally is by speaking in other tongues. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:2-4, when I speak in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. Amen? So you know what I'm doing? I'm giving my tongue to be controlled by what? The Spirit. That's one of the reasons when we pray that way, it's so pure. Our tongue is being controlled by the Spirit. Not only our human spirit, but the Holy Spirit living in us. Isn't that right? Jude 20, you can read that too. He said, you beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Jude 20. So anyway, read those. Those are the ways, supernaturally, we're going to be able to tame the tongue. You're not going to do it by making a New Year's resolution, as good as your intention may be. You know? It's going to take something supernatural. Okay? We're learning what? We're going to learn this kingdom we're in. We're going to learn how to live in it. We're going to learn how to enjoy it. We're going to learn how to defeat the enemy by using what? The weapons of God that are given us in this new kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
All right. We're going to give you just an opportunity here if anybody would like to give right before we pray. Scotty is going to come, and Bob. I'll give you an envelope if you want one. You know, you're exercising one of the laws of the kingdom right now. Remember what Jesus said? He said, give. And it's going to be what? Given back to you. But what? Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. And what? Running over. That's one of the laws of the kingdom. That when you sow a seed, you get back more. It's just the way it is. Did it spiritually. Jesus sowed his son at Calvary, didn't he? And look at all the sons in the last 2,000 daughters in the last 2,000 years he's gotten back. Wow. That's just the way the kingdom operates. God set it up that way, you know? Because what good would it be if you planted a seed and you waited, you know, 3 months for the growing period and the stalk came up and you had your original seed on it? You might as well eat that thing and just let it be done. Why go through all that? Isn't that right? But it works that way with any seed. You know, when you sow time in prayer to God, you're going to get back multiplied what you sowed. When you read the word, meditating, you're going to get back multiple. Works any seed. It works the same. It works the same. That's the beauty of the kingdom. You don't have to learn. You know, it's not like trying to read a bill that Congress wrote. A 1,000-page bill, nobody understands it. Thank God made it simple for people like me. I'm so glad he did, brother. You know, it just works the same way with everything. If I sow love, I'm going to get it back multiplied. How you doing there, hon? Got it? Father, thank you for the word tonight. Lord, may it find good ground in our hearts. Give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation as we meditate and ponder on this. God, Father, everything that's of you, Lord, we're going to eat, we're going to enjoy. Lord, if there's anything in there that doesn't line up with the word, Lord, we're just going to put it aside. But we're going to live in the kingdom. We're going to enjoy the blessings of the kingdom. And Lord, we're going to use the weapons of the kingdom to advance your cause and to set men free and to see the glory of God in our generation. Lord, bless those that are giving tonight. We thank you, Lord. It is given back to them, multiplied over in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All righty. Hallelujah. If you go on the internet, just for your information, you go on our website. These lessons are there free. You can listen to them again. You can download them. You can email them to somebody or whatever you want to do on our podcast. So, you know, if you miss a lesson or whatever, or you want to go back and hear it again, you can just go do that. You know, or we'll take your money and you can buy a CD. We'll be glad to do that, you know, if you'd rather do it that way. But yeah, Tuesday, 11:30 on 1040, WLVJ. Yeah, WLVJ, and you can go on and listen to that on the internet too. So anyway, just in case you might want to know that information, stand up on your feet. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God's word is faith food for our spirit. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. They are life. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your word again. Thank you for the life you've given us. We are in Christ Jesus. We are children of the Most High God. Greater is he that is living in us than he that is in the world. I thank you, Lord, we've received a measure of faith, the God kind of faith. Lord, I thank you we are going to speak to the mountains of our life as Jesus taught us, and we expect fully to see those mountains plucked up. We just expect to see breakthroughs in our lives. We expect to see the kingdom of God dominate the kingdom of darkness. Thank you, Father. We'll give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Have a good evening.